All right, let's bring on Teron Davenport. We're talking Titans here on 102.5 The Game on this Monday. Teron, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. So, Teron, we were just kicking around the receiver situation for the Titans, which is quite interesting on a couple of different fronts. But we started the show, both D-Mace and I agreed, that the more you watch Jaquan Jackson, the more you're intrigued with his unique skill set. So tell me what you're seeing there with his progress, because he's definitely popping a lot of times consistently when you're out there watching the practices.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. And what you're seeing is pretty much a guy who's becoming comfortable, and it just starts to really click for him, and you see him being able to play fast. And that's something that tends to take guys a second to do. Like, a lot of times they don't hit the ground and running in there as fast as they normally are, literally, you know what I mean, because they're steady thinking. I talked to him about that, and he said that more or less it's just a matter of just, you know, just going out there and playing football. And I joked with him, you know, I said, you had to get some wear shoes on after Wednesday's practice, you know, because he caught a couple passes, and he took off, you know, ran 60-plus yards on one of them. And you're seeing him also work technique. You look at one of the catches he had on Saturday, like, he did a really good job of working back to the football. And Brian Callahan yesterday joked about how he's an old man in a young man's body. And some of the things that he's starting to do are a veteran in a rookie body as well. So I've been impressed with him. I think he has a roster spot.
Yeah, I do too, TD. I look at that young man, and I told Willie this. I said, he reminds me a lot of myself. With the quickness, the speed to get downfield if he needs to, but the quickness, the lateral speed, the short space quickness that he has to get away from defenders, I think that's something that the Titans offense has missed at that position. Now, they've had some fast guys, but they haven't had that combination of a guy that can put in the slot, that can work, and that can get open in short spaces very quickly for the quarterback. So he's been able to do that. But has he done it enough, you believe, that it does warrant him some type of consideration or playing time once things get going and once they whittle down the roster?
Yeah, I think it has warranted that. At least, hey, look, let's see what he could do in these situations. Let's run him on a jet sweep. Let's run him on, you know, sending him in motion and running the slant, you know, to just let him catch the ball and go. Let's do those types of things. I would definitely be all for doing that if I was the coach.
Now, what do you think of some of these other guys that who stood out most for you this past weekend? We had a bunch of guys out there making plays. Malik Willis looked pretty good. I would have loved to see him in that third and medium, but each time he had it, there was a false start, which put them in third and long, and that's not many plays you can call. Chance Campbell, once again, stood out. You know, guys like that. We talked about Jalen Harrell. He stood out as well. But what guys, other than those guys, that you believe stood out in that game?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Harrell is the easy mention, but I'll go to James Williams. And, you know, when you see him, it's just like the guy just knows where to be but doesn't know why he ends up there. And it's just fun to watch that. You know, so once he gets to that point where he could play fast because he knows everything and comfortable within the scheme, because remember, he's adjusting from a safety to linebacker, and that's still a process for him. So I think it's been fun watching him. I'm trying to think if there was anyone else I could bring up other than the guys that you mentioned. Off the top, no one else really comes to mind. I mean, Otis Reese, you know, he just continues to trigger and come downhill and make plays also. It's going to be really crazy how that inside linebacker thing is going to work out, because you still got Cedric Gray who's there too. So there's a lot to sort out there.
Now, what do you think of Avery? He didn't have a good game. I mean, he gave up a touchdown. Yeah. The receiver did a great job at hiding his hands, but you end up still getting beat by step. Does he have a roster spot? And I know that position, you have Cheeto and you have Snead, and then you have McQuarrie out there and Brownlee who's playing well. But does he have a spot on this team?
You know, I think he's one of those guys that you never want to be, you know, happy that somebody else is hurt. But, mm-hmm. you know, Caleb Farley being out is helping him. I just wonder what they do, because you mentioned those three. You got Jarvis Brownlee. That's four. I would imagine they're going to keep five or six, mm-hmm. right? And I think Trey Avery is going to find his way into that mix. So it's kind of Trey Avery, Caleb Farley, Gabe Judy-Lally. You know, how are they going to figure that out? I think they keep six of those guys, and I would imagine Judy-Lally or Avery would be the one that they could cast on to the practice squad and just kind of flex them up and down like they do with a guy like Mason Kinsey or, you know, some of those types of guys that they, you know, have as a quote-unquote 54th roster spot.
Talking to Teron Davenport, talking with TJ, I don't mind Avery being the number six. It's like a guy who you like in your bullpen as a middle reliever, but you don't really want him in the starting rotation or the closer. You know, there's a spot for him, but you just don't want him to have to play too much. And TD, he is a great example of a guy that's had to play more than you'd like because of the injury issues and the lack of depth.
Yeah, I mean, that is right. And you get in those situations where you got to kind of trying to tuck guys also. You know, I'm going to change it to David Martin Robinson. You know, you look at him, and he's a guy, you know, he had a contusion in the game, but he's still going to go forth and practice and everything. But he's a guy where it's like, okay, the fourth tight end situation, do you want to get a further evaluation on him, or do you already feel that he's a guy that should be in that position? And if getting that further evaluation on him, now you're exposing him to other teams who have already started to clamor about him.
TD, are you concerned about the D-line, the backup guys? Because – I mean, listen, this weekend, Seattle did a good job at running the football against the Titans. Mm-hmm. I know it was their backups. I get it. But then these are still guys the Titans are going to be relying on because they love to rotate that defensive line unit because those big guys get tired fast. But are you concerned with the depth behind that considering what you saw this past game?
Yeah, I think, you know, Marlon Davidson going down didn't help it. Mm-hmm. They signed Abdullah, but, like, he's brand new. I think Isaiah Eaton is interesting. Yeah, I think the depth should be a concern, right? You got T.K. McClendon. You got, you know, some of those guys that are in there that, you know, seem like they would be adequate. Keandre Colburn, but Quinnen Bohanna, you know, they need somebody that they could rotate in. Because, look, Jeff Simmons and Tavondre Sweat, they aren't going to be able to play all of the snaps. And there's going to be a drop-off when they're not in, but you can't have a huge drop-off like it kind of looks right now.
TD, I guess I shouldn't say I was surprised because you could see it in the practices, and especially with the retirement of the guy that was maybe going to be in the mix here. But Brian Callahan basically, and I'm so thankful for these types of insights where we don't have to play a guessing game. The coach is actually giving you information. But I liked, he said that Dylan Radins and Nicholas Petit-Frere are tracking to be the starters. They haven't won it yet, but it's tracking that in that direction. And he gave a very detailed answer in Daniel Brunskill as a guy that he likes as a utility man. He's sort of singing his praises in that role. So it looks like the picture is coming together on the offensive line, does it not?
Yeah, no, it definitely looks that way. Brunskill was working as the center in that game. He's been the second unit center too, and he can literally play up and down the offensive line. It's something I asked Bill Callahan about, and he's talked about wanting to have more guys that could do that. And yeah, I mean, you're right. It is good that you're starting to see that picture come together. Because especially for them, right, they need to see that as well. So they get that continuity as something that's imperative for the offensive line.
Teron, I was asking myself this question a lot, listening to the press conference yesterday, and I was thinking about it watching the game on Saturday. And that is the depth on this team better than it has been? Because that's such an important question, I think, short-term and long-term, right? They've got to develop some guys. And especially these last couple of draft classes, they need these guys to at least hit on some different levels. If not, everybody's going to be a star, but at least maybe they can improve the depth. So how would you answer that question? Is the depth better on this team this year than it was last year?
I don't know that the depth is better, but I think there's a better spread of talent where it's not just, okay, if Derrick Henry doesn't do something on offense, we're in trouble. Or, you know, hey, look, the only chance of a receiver doing something is DeAndre Hopkins. I think you have it. It's more spread out. And defensively, I think there's a lot more talent on the roster also. So I would say frontline talent is spread out. The depth is still something that we have to see because a lot of the depth is first or second year players.
All right. TD, we had one other thing that D-Mace and I think right now disagree on, and there's still some time to sort it out. And you've got one more preseason game where I'm sure Malik Willis is going to play a lot, just like he has the last three preseasons. He's getting a lot of reps in these games. But it doesn't look like there's any real race to be the quarterback, the backup quarterback, that Mason Rudolph is going to be the backup. The question really is going to be, do you keep Malik Willis on the 53? Or do you risk losing him to another team if you tried to float him in some sense to the practice squad? How would you answer that right now if you're making that decision?
That's a tough decision because you're looking at, do you keep Malik Willis versus a fourth running back, a fourth tight end, a sixth safety, or, you know, something along those lines. And, you know, Malik Willis isn't going to play special teams. So, yeah, it's a tough act to balance. I personally would keep him because I think some of the other guys are more passable to the practice squad. You know, I think Steve Stylianos or, you know, Thomas Odokoya are easier to pass to the practice squad. I'm going to tell you this. I really doubt David Martin Robinson if they release him. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be other teams to pick him up. But you look at some of these other ones, you know, like Gabe Judy-Lally. I think you could pass those guys to a practice squad easier than you could pass a Malik Willis. So I would say keep Malik.
Two questions here quickly before we get you out of here, TD. One is Cedric Gray. Obviously, he's dealt with injury, but it seems like Chance Campbell has passed him up. And I think Brian Callahan did make mention about Cedric Gray and his injury and how it has set him back. And then Treylon Burks. If D-Hop isn't ready for the first game, I think D-Hop will do everything imaginable to make himself ready for the first game. But let's just say he's not full go. They still activate him, but he's not full go. Treylon goes in there, and he has a good game, so to speak. What do you think the Titans do then?
I think when Hop comes back, he's still the guy. Okay. But if Hop isn't there and Burks has a good game, man, that's huge for them. That's what you want. In fact, I'll be honest, if I'm the play caller and Burks is starting and Hopkins is out, first play of the game, I'm going to Treylon. You know what I mean? I want to show him, hey, look, we believe in you, and we know that you're a playmaker. Take this ball and do something for me. That's what I would do. So I think that would be the best of both worlds, honestly, if they had Burks in there and he showed off.
And then Cedric Gray, what do you think his
– Yeah, Cedric Gray, when I talk about one of those players that, you know, things start to slow down and they play fast, I was expecting him to be that guy. I was expecting him to have that sudden thrust that Jaquan Jackson had. But the injuries, right, you know, he's been out a week and a half. He told me that he felt that he was going to be able to play in the Seahawks game, you know, when I talked to him before the 49ers won. And obviously that didn't happen. So there's still time, according to Brian Callahan, but he has to get in there and get things going because, you know, the other rookie inside backer has made a case for himself too. And I doubt they keep six, you know. And then you have Luke Gifford in the mix too, who's a special teams dynamo. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I would be surprised if they release him though.
TD, great info in a short period of time. Excellent stuff. We'll be chewing this up for another week before the preseason finale this weekend, and then it'll be time to look forward to the season. Great talking to you, and we'll look forward to your contributions the rest of the week.
All right, appreciate you guys.
All right, Teron Davenport, you can hear him throughout the week on our station in the different shows. He appears on all of them. He's got the Talking with TD podcast. Great coverage here on 102.5 The Game and ESPN.com.